This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to fubarradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan, Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
You say you love me, I say you crazy. We're nothing more than friends. You're not my lover, more like a brother. I know you since we were like 10. Yeah, don't mess it up, talking that shit. Only gonna push me away, that's it. When you say you love me, that made me crazy. Here we go again. Don't go look at me with that look in your eye. You really ain't going nowhere without a fight. You can't be reasoned with, don't be impolite. I've told you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 times. Haven't I made it obvious? Haven't I made it clear? Want me to spell it obvious? F-R-I-N-D-A.
We're just friends.
So don't go look at me with that look in your eye. You really ain't going nowhere without a fight. You can't be reasoned with, don't be impolite. I've told you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 times. Haven't I made it obvious?
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. And today, for any Love Island fans out there, I have an extra special treat for you today. And I am joined by the amazing Marcel Somerville from last year's season of Love Island. How are you doing, Marcel?
What's going on? I prefer to be called Dr. Marcel when I do radio. I just want to throw that out there. What's going on, people?
Dr. Marcel. I like that. Because you do fancy yourself a little bit of a like kind of like love doctor, love expert kind of fella, don't you?
Do you know what? Like before Love Island, I was kind of like I used to give people advice, but I wouldn't really back my advice. But then after Love Island, when I came out, everyone was like, "Marsh, you give such great advice." I was literally like, "There is something in this. There is definitely something in this." So I do kind of back myself when it comes to romance and knowledge and all of those things about all of the facts and the figures. Do you know what I mean?
The facts and the figures. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Of love. Do you know what I mean? It's all in the brain. It's all in my brain right now. So
are you saying that like your friends didn't really listen to you until you were on the show? So you're hitting them up with the advice and they were completely ignoring you?
No. Do you know what? Like, I think the majority of my best friends always used to listen to like what I'd say, like, because like obviously, like, you know, we having boys chat, like it's like, oh, like she's doing this, she's doing that, and I'd be like, but like you got to think of it like this. You got to like giving them. My take on things, and then like sometimes they listen, but obviously, in your own relationship, sometimes you want to like. Sometimes they don't listen to me, and things go badly. But then, now I think they take more notice because the whole nation kind of was like, yeah, you know what, Marcel gives really good advice.
So, and now your mates are listening.
Exactly, now they're listening to me.
I'm the kind of person that when somebody gives me a bit of advice on my love life or dating or sex life, no matter how good the advice is, I will 100% not listen to them.
A lot of people do that.
But since you're, you know, Dr. Marcel, Doctor of Love, you know, maybe I'll be quizzing you a little bit later for a little bit of advice.
That's totally fine.
And my love situation is always a mess, Marcel. So you're gonna have to unpick that one for me.
That's why you brought me in. I'm gonna do it.
So since you were on the show, you've had your fingers in quite a few pies. You've been doing like you've got a book now, haven't you?
I do. It's called Dr. Marcel's Little Book of Big Love.
Love
it. It's basically a bunch of different scenarios that you might come into during your relationship. So it's like an encyclopedia of love. So like sometimes, so say for instance, you wake up and like your boyfriend or your girlfriend's getting on your nerves for a specific reason.
Yeah.
You can go through the book, find that specific reason and be like, what would Marcel do in this situation? And there is what I would do in the situation.
I love it.
It makes sense.
I love it. Can you give me an example off the top of your head?
Let me try and think. What's one of the good ones in there? So basically, how to work out whether or not you're being ghosted. Ghosted is basically when like you're seeing someone and then all of a sudden they just disappear.
Yeah.
And like you can't get hold of them. You think they're ignoring you. It's like basically just like the telltale signs of whether someone's ignoring you. So it's pretty straightforward, really, when you think about it. If you've contacted them and they haven't replied to you, you give it a day. Then you message them again, and if they don't reply back to that, you just like you stop replying to them. And then if they don't bother like messaging you back within like 2 weeks or whatever it is, they've 100% ghosted you. But it's pretty obvious, isn't it? But a lot of people don't know that.
I'm one of the people who's like, they're just busy.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, let me send another message. Like, let me try and call them 5 times. Like, nah, sometimes you need to just leave it in the other person's hands.
Yeah.
And then you'll and then you'll basically realise whether or not they're ignoring you or ghosting you or whether or not they're actually busy doing something else. But
yeah.
Majority of the time, if it's someone who's kind of like, they kind of like fancy you, but they're not 100% interested. Sometimes they will ignore you for a couple of days and they message back being, oh, I've been so busy.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. So like they're not actually ghosting you. They're more like just like...
They got you on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
just playing it like a bit, like, is he interested? Is he not interested? Like there's different rules to the game. But if you are being ghosted, 2 weeks max, if they haven't replied to you in 2 weeks, they're 100%, unless they're on holiday,
all right,
they're 100% ghosting.
Okay, I have a scenario for you. This happened to me not that long ago. This was like probably a couple months before Christmas, and I was like, met this guy on a dating app, was chatting away to him, and then he seemed super keen to begin with. And I didn't say like anything weird or anything to like throw him off. It was just like normal chats. And then he was like, hey, would love to go on a date with you sometime. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. I would love to. When's good for you? And then no reply. And I was like, okay, this is weird. He's asked me out, so he must be interested.
Yeah.
And now he's just disappeared. So I waited a couple of days, and then I hit him with another message like, would love to go out next week. I'm free Friday night. Do you fancy it? No reply again. And I didn't want to do the third text because, like, two is the limit.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
But I really liked the look of him, and he seemed quite nice. And I was like, I feel like we could get on. So I hit him with the third message, the embarrassing third message, but nothing.
Still no reply.
Nothing from him. And then, like, months later, like 2 weeks ago, so we're talking like 3-4 months later, he drops me a text like, hey, so sorry, still up for that date? And I'm like, mate, it's been 4 months.
Where has he been?
See, like, what's he been doing?
See, now that's what you call a zombie, because you thought that they were a ghost, but
they're back from
fact,
the dead.
They crawled back. They're trying to crawl back into your life. See, in that situation, I'd probably totally ignore him because he seems a bit flaky. Personally, like if someone doesn't reply to you after the third message for 4 months, and then they message back, oh, so how'd you feel about that date? Like, I'm gonna be like, do you know what? Like, nah, you can't do it. I kind of think maybe he was on the app. maybe he had a boyfriend, but he was on the app. Ooh. And he was thinking, you know, potentially, like this guy's nice looking, he's a good looking chap. I'd love to go on a date with him. And then maybe he was on a break or whatever it is, or they just, but then maybe they got back together, tried to make it work, and then it didn't work, and then he's like, I'm gonna try and hit him up again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's always a scenario.
My kind of logic for it was that he was probably just feeling a bit horny, a bit lonely. Yep. It was around Valentine's Day. Ooh. Had just gone. I was like, you know, he's probably feeling a bit on his own, doesn't want another night with his hand.
There you go.
I'm going to message that guy from 4 months ago.
See?
But Marcel, I did what I shouldn't have done, and I replied like, "Yeah, would love to go on the date." Nothing. Gone again.
I told you. He's a flake. Absolute Cadbury's flake.
Yeah. So yeah, if he gets in touch with me again, I promise you, Marcel, I won't message back this time.
Do you know what? If you do message back, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I don't want to let you down.
Don't let me down, bro.
I really don't. So when you were on the show as well, you were quite lucky because you met your current partner.
Yes, I did. Do you know what? I was extremely lucky, but I think the people, the producers at Love Island, I think they knew what they were doing. So basically, like, I went in there the first day and I was the first boy in there. No one stood forward. I was literally like, oh my God, I've made the worst mistake of my life. I can't believe I'm on TV. All my mates are watching me get pied off. And then a week later, they send in the girl who's literally perfect. And I'm like, why couldn't you just put her into the starting cast?
Yeah.
I found out afterwards that Gabs was actually meant to be in the starting cast, but they put her in a week later. So in my
just
head,
to
I
fuck
think
with you, probably.
I think maybe because it made good TV and it literally made everyone go, oh my God, have you seen what's happened on Love Island?
Yeah.
No one's to fall for this guy. And then it's just turned into me and Gabs are like the only, well, apart from Jamie and Camille, we're the only other couple, well, and Dom and Jess, but we're the only couple that was in the final that is like still
going
together.
Strong.
Yeah.
And do you feel like, because you, like, everyone's been talking about Love Island, like everyone is literally obsessed with it. Do you feel like what we get to see of the show is like a fair representation of you, or do you kind of wish you were portrayed differently?
Do you know what? I think for me, the way I was portrayed was I don't think they could have portrayed me in any other way, because I was very laid back, very chilled out, and like when it came to any situations, I kind of like just like dealt with them head on. I think it would have been impossible for me to, in a way, act fake. But I think with what the viewers see, I think to whittle down 24 hours into 1 hour, you're not seeing everything that's happening throughout the day, because there's a lot of stuff happening throughout the day. And however they cut it together, because I haven't actually watched it back. Apart from the first week.
Oh my God!
I watched the first week back, but then like I was like, you know what? Don't even want to get into it, because it's just going to be like, I'm going to be watching myself, because even watching the first week, hearing my voice on TV, it's just like, it's weird seeing myself on TV. But yeah, like I think some of the people got portrayed in ways that some people either got portrayed negative when they weren't like that bad a person, and some people got portrayed as like angels when they were.
Yeah.
Pretty pants, really.
But I feel like both you and Gabby, who, for people listening, Gabby Allen, she was on the show with Marcel. I feel like both of you got portrayed pretty well. Like you come off as like Love Doctor guy, and like I feel like your relationship and everything, I think you were shown in a good light.
I think we was until I think it was towards the end. When like there was like a lot of things came out, because me and Gabby weren't having sex on TV, so everyone was going,
yeah,
oh, she's fake, she doesn't really fancy him, this, that, the other, because we wasn't having sex on TV, but we kind of just didn't want to have sex on TV. So
yeah, you know, well, I mean? Well, speaking about that, because there was I don't know if you heard about this, but the previous year,
yeah,
there was Zara Holland, I think her name was, and she was Miss England, and then she had sex on TV,
and then she got dethroned.
She had her crown taken away from her. Like, what's your personally? I think it's unfair and not called for. What do you think about that?
Do you know what? Like, I remember watching it, and I was literally watching it thinking, like, that's a bit deep. Like everyone has sex in it. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone does.
Absolutely.
It. Like, obviously, because she was the reigning queen or whatever it is. I don't really know what the rules are in regards to it. But like, I remember when it happened, I was like, oh, that's like, because like, I didn't like, I don't think it's bad to have sex on TV, but I think it's, I think obviously when you've got like, because I think as Miss Great Britain, you've got young girls like aspiring to be like you and that kind of stuff. I think maybe they've kind of seen it from that point of view, but for me, I didn't think it was enough to like dethrone her and basically just ruin her queenship.
Yeah, I mean, I am personally of the opinion, like you said, everybody has sex, and I like to be sex positive, and like people do have sex, and the fact that she was on a show called Love Island about like love and dating, like it makes sense, and I think I fully support her decision to have sex on the show, and you know what, she's better than that throne, she's better than that crown if they took it away from her.
Do you know what I think? If like obviously her going onto the show, she would have had to say to them, because as she's the reigning Miss Great Britain, she would have said to them, I'm going on Love Island. If they had any problems with it, they should have probably blocked her from going onto the show if she's their thing. Like if they was gonna have problems with it, because they obviously know the whole thing of the show in it. Yeah. Like there's possibilities that they may have sex in it. So.
Well, apparently she was warned before the show not to have sex on the show, but she denies that, apparently. So I don't know what the truth is there.
Who knows?
Yeah, like, who knows the answer?
Very complicated.
And then there was one other thing as well, and I don't know if you heard about this either, but it was actual MPs in Parliament discussing Love Island, discussing the show. Did you hear about this?
No, I think what's his name? Who's the Labour guy? The Labour guy.
There's a lot of Labour guys.
No, the
Corbyn.
Main. Corbyn.
Yeah.
Corbyn was like, vote for Marcel. Like,
really?
Yeah, Corbyn was backing me in
supported by Corbs. I mean,
I was supported by the Labour guys. Yes,
that's amazing.
But yeah, no. So Corbyn was backing me. I remember coming out and like, because my like one of my best friends, Pinner, she made me like a scrapbook of like all of the tweets and all of the like magazine stuff that that came out. And I remember seeing like Jeremy Corbyn like back Marcel for Love Island, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, it's
that's
mad.
Incredible.
But, yeah,
it's
funny, man. It's funny.
Like, that's life goals right there.
Do you
I
know
feel
what I mean?
you've made it, Marcel.
Exactly. Like talk about in Parliament. Like, I'm official now. I'm official.
You are. All right. Let's have a little bit of music. But before we're going to play this music, this is a bit of a throwback to a little band that you used to be in.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Do you remember being in a band?
I do remember being in a band. Like when I was around 15, 16, I was in a band. I don't know if you know, but I used to be in a Blazing Squad.
I was such a big fan of Blazing Squad.
I loved
Blazing Squad back in the day.
You know what? Like, it's crazy because like back in the day, I remember having a lot of fans and stuff like that, but going on the show literally just revamped everything.
Reignited
like, literally,
it.
Literally, the boys, when I was in there, the boys were off doing shows all over the place. I was literally like, this is crazy. But then when I came out, I got told that our Spotify had gone up like 2,500%.
No
since
way.
For me going on the show. So
you blew it up.
I literally blew it up. I got all the boys' royalties again. Yes, I did it.
All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but here's a bit of Flip Reverse.
Tune.
Good, if you know how I felt, we could take it downstairs like below the belt. Whatever you want, I got it, I'm hot, baby, I want it. Love solid for hours, not even Austin Powers could top it. I'll do better than me, slew better than me. Cruise overused, a penny and prove that I'm ready. Prefer it with many, but really I don't care, cause this chick's so bling, it's getting frosty in here.
Me and the boys will be blazing it up, so baby come take a ride in the back of the truck. If you wanna get cold, let me know who you are.
Like a lot of heat, undercover, sitting on some cheddar, need to work you, girl. But I'm the type, more like to pick up a mic and bless this crowd with my flows where you stay and grind. And I will bring my click, cause that's how we roll. And I will take these chicks and I'll take them home. I'm making sure none of us leave this place alone. I gotta get a honey here and get her alone, come on.
Me and the boys will be blazing it up, so baby, come take a ride in the back of the truck. If you wanna get close,
I see you grinding in the club, cheeks soft like a pillow. I make her hotter than an oven if you give me a second, cause I'm consistent when it comes to pleasing girls, I'm a blessing. Yo, flip it, rip it, lick it, go strip it, yo, can you kick it? The mic is the ticket, close to sip it, freaky diggy shit. Lick it, lick it good and put the places where you should. You cannot take the hood, no one gives you the feelings the way I could.
So the other boys in Blazing Squad, do you still see them?
I still see every single one of
them. Do you?
Yeah, literally. Like actually, big up James, aka Flavor. He had a baby boy today called Arthur.
Oh no way!
Congratulations to him, Mrs. It's amazing. It's amazing news. So yeah.
Does he still go by Flavor?
No, he goes by James now. Like as everyone grew up, they started to like realize. Actually, do you know what? Like, there's only one that goes by his MC name.
Okay, who's that?
That's Mello. But everyone's called Mello since he was like about 14. So
did you have a name in Blazing Squad?
I had two names. So like, my first name was Rocky B. But then I got to a point when I was like, you know what? Like, I'm tired of walking down the street and people going Rocky B. So I changed it to Platinum B because I had grey hairs. So
nice.
So Platinum B and Rocky B were my Blazing Squad names. But yeah.
I'm a fan of Platinum B.
Platinum B was the one, like, it meant a lot to the Grey, so, yeah.
I was obsessed with one of the... Was it Kenzo?
Kenzie. A lot of people
back
were obsessed
in the day,
with Kenzie.
Oh, my God, I was in love with him.
He's been going to the gym. He's proper ripped and all that stuff now, so probably fancy him even more now.
Yeah, because he was just a little fella before, wasn't he?
He was
quite thin, and now so he's...
Now he's just like...
Oh, I'm going to need to Google that later.
Google him.
And you've been working on music on your own since Blazing Squad. And was I right in thinking you worked with Naughty Boy? Or have
I
just made that up?
So the stuff I'd done with Naughty Boy was actually when we kind of jigged the squad, and it was me, Kenzie, Flavor and Stride, and we done a tune called Let's Start Again.
Oh, no way.
With Naughty Boy, which was one of my favorite songs, but because we kind of like self-released it, it didn't hit as hard as it should have.
Yeah.
But it was one of the better Blazing Squad songs that we've done. Like, but we done like a lot of work with Naughty actually, because like Musa Murray, who are now Mojam, they've got a studio in the same block as Naughty Boy, so basically like we used to like just literally jam together and make tunes.
That's amazing. I'm definitely going to have to look that up.
Definitely. It's a banger. It's a tune.
Well, for now, I want to learn a little bit more about you, Marcel. So we're going to play a little bit of Two Truths, One Lie now. So lovely listeners at home, Marcel has got three facts about himself, and I'm going to have to figure out which one of them is a lie.
Okay. So
are you ready to do this?
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. Fact number one.
All right.
On Love Island... me and Gabby won every single sex-related challenge.
Ooh.
Even though we didn't have sex on TV.
Ooh.
Number two.
Wait. Let's slow this down. Oh, but I feel like, you know, like if you're not having sex because you just met and you're in that kind of like, you get that really heightened lustful mode. You know, when you first meet someone and you're super attracted to them. And I feel like that could have like, amplified your skills in these games. You know what I mean? Like you weren't using up your energy elsewhere.
I see what you're doing, because there were games that involved like positions and how many positions you could do in a certain amount of time.
And you guys were like raring for it.
And we literally. But like, wait, you're trying to get like. No, you gotta wait. You're trying to get me to trip over myself.
I am. Nah, trip you up.
I see. Possibly, potentially. Yeah.
All right. Hit me with your second fact.
Second one, I once dated twin sisters at the same time.
Twin sisters at the same time. Like, was this like a three-way relationship, or like you were just like dating?
Or maybe I was dating them like separately, and they didn't know
about each other. What were their names? These twin sisters. What were their names?
Kimberly, and Rose.
Kimberly and Rose. Oh, nice names. Nice names. They match. Kim and Rose. Did you call her Kim?
I think yeah. Like, I shorten everyone's name, so like.
Bit of Kimbo,
or just no. There's no Kimbo in there.
All right, Kimberly and Rose. I don't know. I feel like you are definitely the kind of guy who could pull that off. But like managing to keep that up. Did it last for very long? Was it like a couple months?
I only said dating. I didn't say I was in a strong relationship. Ooh. You know.
But it was at the same time. You were dating both of them.
I met them at the same club.
Same night.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, took both of their numbers, and then it was just like,
well, you got to figure out which, you know, if you see two gorgeous ladies,
you got to figure out which one you like, innit?
Yeah, absolutely. Fair. I really hope that's true. Give me your third fact.
The third fact is my longest relationship spanned 8 years.
8 years. My, that's a long time. I did a 6-year relationship once, and that felt like a lifetime. So 8 years is...
8 years, you should potentially be looking to get married at the end of 8 years, no?
Yeah.
I was quite young when it started, so I was 17, and it was like, it spanned over 8 years, but it was kind of like, there was moments when it was like on and off and that kind of stuff, so yeah, but like it just didn't work out in the end, so yeah.
How old are you now, Marcel?
I'm 32.
You look so much younger than that.
Thank you very much, Gavin.
You've got great skin.
Do you know what? It's because I'm moisturized. Oh. Gabby says it all the time. Gabby, literally, have a bath, moisturize.
Yeah.
Get up in the morning, moisturize. Every time I just moisturize. And Gabby's like, your skin is so soft. I'm like, it's time
to
moisturize.
Take care of it.
Now she moisturizes every day because of that thing.
I feel like it's usually the other way around. I feel like it's usually the girl in the relationship who encourages the guy to moisturize.
No, but do you know what? Like, it is, but because I'm quite dark. Like, if I don't moisturize and my skin looks dry, sometimes it looks a bit ashy. Don't want to look ashy in it. So
don't want to look ashy.
You know what I mean? So from a kid who's like, moisturize, Marsh. You go to school, you got to moisturize after you do PE, because otherwise you're gonna have ashy elbows and all the. And you're gonna be sitting there in your short sleeve school shirt, and the girl's gonna be like, his elbow is a bit dry there.
You know what?
No one wants a dry elbow.
The amount of times, you know, Marcel, I've been out, I've been clubbing, I've seen a hot guy across the bar, and then I've clocked his elbows, and I've been like, nah, does not take good
even,
care of his
even
elbows.
Their hands like around there. You need to make sure you're moisturized, people.
I don't think I've ever looked at a guy's elbows.
I'm just self-conscious about having dry elbows. Yeah. So like, I make sure I'm moisturized. That's what I'm saying.
You take good care of them. All right, so this 8-year relationship, what was her name? What was the name of the girl in the 8-year relationship?
Haley.
Oh, and was she nice? Why did you break up? Just wasn't working.
We was young when we got together, and then we kind of like, as we grew up, we kind of like was going down different paths.
Yeah, because like when you're 17, you're still figuring yourself out.
Yeah, you don't really know who you are in it. So as I got older, like I was obviously, I used to be in the band. Like I liked to go out partying, and I wanted to go raving, that kind of stuff. But she was more like, she kind of went down a different route, and it was more straight edged. And I was a bit too roguish.
So it didn't work out. See, I feel. Originally, I was thinking that the twins thing was the lie. I was like, I feel like you are the kind of guy who could pull that off, but I think that's hard work. Like, I once had a thing with twins, though.
Really?
Two Italian boys. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So that was a good time.
You can do it. I can do it.
So I'm hoping we can bond over this.
You know what I mean?
So
it's a bonding moment. It's a bonding moment.
I'm going to be really upset if that one's the lie, but I feel like when you were talking about, what was your 8-year girlfriend's name?
Haley.
Oh, okay. I'll try and trip you up there. I don't know. I feel like when I asked you what her name was, you had a little grin on your face, which said that you were just talking bullshit.
Maybe it's my poker face.
Oh, you good at poker?
No, do you know what? Like, me and my mates used to play poker, and I used to lose all the time and be sitting there while they're trying to win my money. So I was like, yeah.
A good poker face. So, no, you know what? As much as I want it to be true, I'm going to stick with my guns here, and I'm going to say that the lie is the twins. I don't think you simultaneously dated twins named Rose and Kimberly. I do. I think that is the lie.
Is that your final answer? Is that your final answer? 3.
Yeah, two, yeah. Final answer. Final one. Answer.
You are correct.
Yes. Knew it.
Well done.
Have you ever dated anyone called Kimberly or Rose? Where did you pull those names from?
No, I literally Kimberly Rose. I don't even know where I pulled that name from. Like, I think of two names that sound similar, but not too similar. Like Kimberly and Rose, they do not sound similar at all. But no, I dated a girl called Rose, but that was for about 2 weeks. I've never dated a Kimberly.
Never. Just pulled that out of nowhere. And what was your first fact again? What was the first
my
thing?
My first fact was me and Gary won every sexual aid challenge on Love Island.
I knew that one was true. And, you know, what a way to start a relationship. I think, you know, you've built a relationship that's going to last through that alone.
This is the thing because, obviously, you're together 24-7 for we're together 6 weeks, 24-7. So it's literally like, the urges are there, innit? We was in a hideaway, and we was feeling like maybe we should do it, and then we was kind of like, no, we can't, like let's not give in to it. Let's just stick to our plan. And you know what? In all honesty, like I got to know her so much deeper by not just having sex straight away. Like we literally built our relationship. We got to know each other on like a different level, and then when we got out, things just like it was worth the wait, innit? Do you know what I mean? Now it's just cool.
So would you recommend maybe with the next guy I start dating that maybe I should hold off?
Do you know what? Like if you're not used to doing it, maybe try it.
Because I'm usually like 20 minutes into date one, I'm like, right, let's do this. Like Netflix off.
But this is the thing. Like. Before I went into Love Island, I was very much enjoyed being single and shit. Like I enjoyed just like having fun, meeting new people, that kind of stuff. And then from being in the show, like because I built my relationship like that, and it wasn't just like, oh, like we've had sex, like so like now our relationship is just like everyone else's relationship. Our relationship was different to everyone else's relationship, and it kind of like made it like, I don't know. It made it different. So
special.
So it was like the first relationship where I've actually had to wait 6 weeks before I've actually
Six weeks. You know, is that how long it was?
It was that long. So waiting 6 weeks to actually do it, like, and especially when that 6 weeks it's not like a normal 6 weeks. So like in a normal relationship, you'd be if you saw someone for 6 weeks, you'd see them like
six times.
Six times or like maybe twice in 1 week or something like that. But I was with her
constantly,
24/7, constantly, innit? Like so late. So it's more than 6 weeks in normal relationship terms.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean? So like it was an intense build up.
It must have been like fireworks when it finally happened.
It was crazy. Like it was a very 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 crazy, crazy first night out of the villa. So yeah.
And that, like, I know that you know you were happy to do that and not to have sex, and that made your relationship even stronger. But was there like nowhere you could like run away and hide? Was there literally nowhere you could escape from it?
Literally nowhere. So basically, like there was moments when you could like walk out and go out the front of the villa and with a producer and just like have a little chat, about how things are going, because it does get intense in there, it does get stressful, and like do you know what, like throughout the whole time in there I was fine, innit? Everyone else was having mental breakdowns and that kind of stuff, and then there was 1 week when literally like I'd given so much advice, so many people come to me, and I was literally just absorbing all of their like all of their dramas and all of their negative energy and that kind of stuff, and I just literally went, you know what,
It's too much.
I was thinking to myself, like, maybe go home, Marsh. Maybe go home. And I was like, no, Marsh, you can't break. So, like, I just went out the front. I just chilled out there for a little bit. And then I got back into it. Said to Gabs, look, Gabs, if anyone comes up to me today, I'm not going to be the support system for them today because I need a break from it. So had a little break and then just spent the whole day with Gabs, and then like after that I was back to normal. But it was very it's a very intense situation in there, so yeah.
I'm really glad that you didn't bail, because I think you would have really upset Jeremy Corbyn.
Hey, Jeremy, you know what I mean? Like I can't let down the Labour Party.
Can't let down the Labour Party. All right, we're going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions later on in the show. So if you are listening at home and you have something you want to spill, if you have a question about sex or dating or just anything you want to share with us, you can do that by emailing callum@foobarradio.com and Marcel and I will be reacting to those later. It's completely anonymous, so don't worry about us reading your name out on air or anything like that. All right, let's have a little bit of Kendrick Lamar. Marcel, would you like to play a little game?
Let's do this. You know, you know I don't mind games.
You love a game.
I love a game.
This is everyone's favourite game. This is Porn or Not Porn.
Oh, wow.
So I have five little clips here, and you have to figure out which ones of these are from porn and which one of these are from Love Island itself. In your honour. So some of these are from Love Island and some of these are from actual full-blown porn.
All right.
So I feel like this is going to be tricky. How do you think you're going to do with this?
I think I'm going to be quite good at this. I think
you may recognise a voice or two.
Maybe. Probably won't be mine if it's... I don't know. You never know.
No, because you behaved yourself in the house.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So here is your first porn or not porn. What do we think? Do we think that's...
Wait, can I get one more?
Oh, you can have it as many times as you want, Marcel.
That's Love Island.
Why do you think it's Love Island?
Because I think I can hear Chris.
Can you hear Chris?
Yeah.
You reckon you can
hear
Chris?
I think I can hear Chris. I think I can... What? Yeah.
So is that your final answer? You think this is 100% Love Island?
100% Love Island.
Because I'm just saying that there's some like crazy porn out there. And, you know...
Island porn.
No, I just, you know, people do all kinds. I'm sure there is Love Island porn,
actually.
There
probably is.
There's probably somebody out there playing Marcel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not doing you justice.
Yeah, no,
I'm sure of
obviously,
it.
Obviously, like, there's only one Marcel out there.
Well, you are correct. That was, who did you say you thought it was? Chris? That was Jamie punching Camilla in the stomach. I'll do it. Give it you again.
Well, that's weird. That's a very strange noise to make, Jamie.
All right, okay. I am not in charge of putting these together, by the way. I'm just saying.
Totally fine.
All right, your next one. Oh. Wait. You can hear, like, do you hear there's some heavy breathing. Listen carefully.
Oh, wow. So that's actually, is that like the bed?
I don't know. It could be a bed. At first, I heard a high heel shoe on a floor, is what I was thinking.
Play it again.
But there's definitely a bit of a... is that somebody gasping for air? Or is it just a harmless moment from Love Island?
Can I have it one more time?
You can.
I'm going to say porn.
You think it's porn?
Just because I don't know what that noise is.
Yeah, I feel like bedpost banging against the wall and then somebody a bit of...
One of those.
Yeah.
it could be Love Island because, like...
Ooh, could go either way.
Maybe you put two Love Islands together to throw me off.
Maybe. So,
No, I'm going to go with Love Island.
You've changed your
mind. I've changed my mind. It's Love Island.
I'm so sorry.
Ah, no.
I really, really wanted you to get that right. No, this was porn. This was from Real Hard Sex with Suffocation. So this is...
Real Hard Sex with Suffocation.
Suffocation. So I guess she's or he, or they, you know, whoever that is, I guess, gasping for air. Well, maybe, perhaps.
Oh, wow, wow.
Oh, apparently, I'm being told it's actually balls slapping.
That's someone's balls?
I mean, what are these balls made of?
Conkers.
Conkers.
They are hard,
like,
balls.
Jesus Christ. What are they smacking against?
No, I mean, it's like wrecking balls. Like that. It came in like a wrecking ball. Yeah, no. But, all right. So one, right, one more. Right, so.
Yeah, yeah. You got three more. You can win this back.
I feel like I can do this.
All right, your next one. Oh, don't know what that sound was at the end there.
Was that someone kissing?
Oh, it could have been a kiss, could have been something else. It might just be someone eating a banana, you know?
No, like, but it sounds like a slurp.
It's a...
Yeah, like... Wait, play it again.
But there's also like a door opening. It sounds like there's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on. There's a heavy breathe.
No, that's Love Island.
Is it?
That's 100% Love Island. That's two people in bed kissing and then someone walks in from the garden.
So where do you think this is happening?
In Love Island? In the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
Yeah, but I'm just saying Love Island, but like in the bedroom.
You are correct. This is Zara sleeping with Alex in the hideaway.
Aha, the kiss.
The kiss. It's the infamous kiss.
One more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of context, that kiss sounds like a little bit...
It does. It could be something else, but it's a kiss.
You're a smart man.
I know.
Smart man. No. All right, your next one. Oh. I'm hearing a little bit of cheesy music in the background.
Yeah, that's definitely porn, because it's like... Wait, play it again. Yeah, that's porn. That's porn. I didn't need to explain it. It's porn.
Yeah? Is that your final answer?
Yep.
You're wrong.
No!
I'm sorry, but you are wrong.
How?
It is Dom finally gets a snog off Jess.
Oh, see, I haven't seen this. But I haven't seen that episode.
Because if you'd seen the episode,
I shouldn't have thought of the cheesy music, because Love Island, they do play music in the background of all the dates, and it says like, oh, the romantic build up and all the kind of stuff. I should have known better.
Yeah, you should have known better. Two out of four. You're right. You got one more. If you know, you can win this.
All right. Cool. Final one.
Here you go.
Porn.
So confident. That could be a bit more like cheesy Love Island music.
Can I play again? No, that is definitely. That's definitely. It's like a saxophone. Like you know when you're hearing saxophone, it's definitely porn.
You are absolutely correct. That was Husband Finds Video on Wife's Cell Phone. Don't you just love the names of porn videos?
That's crazy. Where was this porn video found?
Oh, in the deep, deep, dark recesses of the web, no doubt. Sometimes I get myself in a little bit of a cycle. I click on a little porn video. It's from Pornhub, apparently. No surprises there. Yeah. I start clicking, and you know how you get like recommended videos come up?
Oh, yeah.
I start out proper vanilla. I'm like, hot guys kissing. I've never searched that on a porn website. But like, you start out proper vanilla, like hot guys have sex.
And then it just escalates into...
And then you see a recommended video on the side, like hot guy spits in hot guy's mouth. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then hot guy spits into hot guy's ass. And then I'm like, yeah, okay. And then before you know it,
you're in a dark place.
You're in a dark, dark place. And that basically happens to me nightly.
Fair enough. That it's understandable.
It is understandable. All right. On that note, let's have a bit more, bit more music. This is The Reeling by Passion Pit.
Blue Bar Radio presents
Sarah Love and My Stiggy.
Stormzy performed at the Brits, and then at the end of his performance, he had some bars, fam, for Theresa May.
Say what you want about whether you're into his music or not, he just had to go and get his awards. He didn't have to go up there and put Theresa May on blast. Talking about Grenfell,
did a good thing. So
he did hell of a job, man. And to top it all off, he did it bareback.
Yeah.
So in honor of Stormzy, I'm gonna start rolling bareback. I just gotta wait for the weather to appreciate me getting my tits out.
I know, it's not long to go now. We're all looking forward to that, Mice.
Every Monday,
Sarah Love and My Stiggy
from 4 PM, FUBAR Radio.
Well, Marcel, I know you love a game.
I do.
It's your favourite thing in the world. So I'm going to hit you with another one here. So in front of me, I have a certain celebrity dating app. It's not their real dating app. It's one we've made up. You know,
okay.
If I could find celebrities on dating app, I'd be a very very happy boy. So in front of me here, I have a lovely gentleman. I've got a few clues that have been taken from their dating app, and you're going to have to try and figure out who this is. If our lovely listeners want to play along, you can find out all the clues about this person on the FUBAR Radio Instagram or Twitter. So, would you like your first clue?
Let's do it.
All right, this, I feel like, unless you're like proper like obsessed with celebrities, and I feel like you're not, I feel like this first one's not really much of a clue. He was born on the 21st of May, 1994. Little fun fact, that's actually my birthday, so he's trying to steal my thunder.
Is it you?
It's not me.
Okay.
It's not me. Okay. That would be weird if it was me.
I'm there.
He's 4 years younger than me, so he's what, 24? 24. Good maths. Quick maths.
Quick maths.
all right. Okay. No guesses, I assume.
No.
So he's 24. That's all we know. He got married to his filmmaker husband in Devon, and that happened last year. So he's young and he's already married at the age of 24.
24.
And he married a filmmaker.
Filmmaker. 24 filmmaker. I feel like...
You've got a little twinkle in your eye that suggests...
I don't know. Maybe I'm just going by who's got married recently and who's young enough to be... I'm 32, so he's... I can't do quick maths on this.
Come on, quick maths.
6 years younger than me?
Yeah. It's quite young to get married.
Is it Tom Daley?
It is Tom Daley.
But
in two clues as well.
That's right.
We had more clues for you. They're expecting a baby boy together.
Didn't
and
need it.
He won bronze medals at the Olympic Games, but you just fucking smashed.
I told you, I love games.
You do love games.
I do, indeed.
But not in a bad way. That makes it sound
No. Do you know, in relationships, I hate games. I don't play games. Games, we don't like those. But when it comes to having fun and entertaining yourself, yeah, games are fun.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% down for that. I love a game, especially in the bedroom. Marcel, did you ever use dating apps?
I think I was on Tinder for a little while, but I feel like I used to just get Blazing Squad fans like trying to go on dates with me.
Seriously?
So I had to kind of like be like, you know what? Maybe it's not for me.
Yeah. When did Blazing Squad split up?
So we split up. Oh, all right. So we got signed when we were in 2002. 2003, we released our first single. And then so probably around 2006. The squad split up because I'd done the games in 2006, which was like a TV show when you had to do like celebrities had to do like Olympic sports. So I'd done that in like 2006, and then actually was it 2005? Then I'd done the game in 2006, and then we kind of got back together in like 2008, 2009 for a little bit.
Okay,
but it didn't really work out.
Yeah, so that's crazy because that was years and years and years later, and you still had like fans basically trying to hook up with
I'm telling you, there was diehard Blazing Squad fans, and there was a lot of people because obviously, like we weren't the kind of band that was like we split up, like it's like we kind of like just faded out, like it was kind of one of those things where we kind of like just faded out of the scene because we were still doing shows and all stuff together, but then we just stopped making music together. So People still was recognizing me when I was even before Love Island. I'd be in like in like a bar and a girl come up to me like, oh my god, are you Marzo from Blaze Squad? And I'll be like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, still recognizable. But like now, like after Love Island, my face, because I used to think I couldn't have that much of a recognizable face.
Yeah.
Because I thought people would still recognize me from the squad more.
Yeah.
But obviously, as
is that a picture of you that I've just been shown?
That
from,
is a picture of me.
How old are you there?
In that picture, I've got cane row, so I'm 16.
Wow, like you actually look very, very different. I think you've really grown into yourself.
I've grown into my face a lot more in it, and I've got a beard. I've got a semi beard now, and I've not got cane row. So, but yeah, like that was me as a 16-year-old child.
I love it. I remember as well. Like, seeing pictures and
oh
my god,
look at them D&G jeans.
That is a look. That's all I can say about that.
But do you know what I'm going to say to you now? Like I was rocking D&G jeans and Averitt jackets. If you look at all of the rappers now, they're all the Averitt jackets are back, and people are wearing them Rago D&Gs.
You were just ahead of your time, you know.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm old school. Like, I'm old school. I'm an old school representative of the fashion sense. I might start rocking those clothes again. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe how young you all look, because I remember like seeing the music videos and things, and like, because I guess I was younger than, because I'm what, yeah. 6 years?
You're four years younger.
Because I remember seeing you guys and thinking you were like so much older, and now like you're babies.
We were kids. That's you're literally little kids. Like when I look at 16-year-olds now, I'm literally like, wow, I wish I was your age again so I could redo everything again. But like I'm literally half my age now.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's absolute insanity.
I probably wouldn't get that hair back though.
I'm feeling it. I think it's a good look on you.
I was the only one with curtains, and that's crazy.
If you're listening at home, just jump on Google real quick and
don't Google it, guys. You don't need to see me.
Well, you look a lot better now. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
How do you feel about astrology, Marcel?
Do you know what? Like,
consider yourself an astrologer.
Not really, but I do feel like I there was a moment in my life when I was fully reading my star signs and
really?
My horoscopes, and I'm pretty sure like there was one that I saw which was like, you're gonna be even before the music, it was like you're gonna do something that's gonna change your life this week, and I feel like I feel like that was the thing when I asked my mum for 20 quid to go and make the demo. We all had to ask our parents for 20 quid. So we can make a £200 demo, which is the song that we got signed from.
So it actually, it actually changed your life, astrology.
I feel like it did. I feel like I did read that because you know when you're a kid, like, and your dad's got a newspaper, and then you just like go and read like the comic book, you know,
the little cartoony
bits at the back of it, and the horoscopes were there. I used to read my horoscope all the time, and like I remember reading one saying like something's going to be life changing this week, and I think it was around the same time. So yeah.
Well, I've got a little treat for you. We've got Linda Joyce joining us on the phone in a moment, and she is an amazing, renowned international life coach and astrologer. So maybe she will, you know, tell you something today that will change your life once more. Fingers crossed.
Hope so.
All right, let's do a bit of music, and then we'll be joined by Linda after that. So I am very, very excited for this. We are joined by Linda Joyce, who is a renowned international life coach and astrologer now. How are you doing, Linda?
Hello. How nice to be here.
Thank you.
I know. I just left London a few weeks ago. So
where are you now? Where are you based?
I'm in New York, but I come to London often. I have a lot of clients in London, and I have for 15 years. So.
Oh, wow. I'm so jealous of you living the New York City life.
Yeah, but it's snowing right now, so don't be too jealous.
I love the snow.
But I do love, New York and London are my two favorite cities in the world, actually.
Well, today I'm joined by the lovely Marcel, and do you want to actually tell Linda what you were just telling me?
Oh, yeah, because basically, when I was younger, I got signed into a band called the Blazing Squad when I was a kid. But the week before it, I had to ask my parents for £20 so I could go and make a demo. But the week I was doing it, I actually read my horoscope in a newspaper, and it said, "This week you're going to do something that's going to change your life," and it literally did.
Oh wow, you're giving me goosebumps. Every now and then that does happen, amazingly so. So astrology is absolutely amazing, but it's really up to the interpreter, because you have to interpret those aspects, you know.
How do you feel, Linda, about because this will probably really upset you and make you really angry. A long time
ago,
I think it will. A long time ago, I interned for a magazine, and they had like star signs and things in the back of that. And as an intern, they just told me to make them up.
Oh, listen, that does not surprise me. And of course, it makes me angry because, first of all, the astrology in the back of magazines does not represent astrology.
Yes.
Okay? And it's so much more profound and deep than that. But, it's not about who you're going to meet at the party and or some glib little word you write down to make something sound good. But a lot of them have really good astrologers, and then sometimes they don't. But it's like anything in any profession, there's good people and there's not good people. So
yes.
You have to make sure you find the right one. And guess what? You found the right one.
I found the right one.
Nice.
Because I'm going to tell you about your love life.
Oh my God.
And then you won't speak to me.
Oh, you're not going to give me bad news, are you?
Wow.
Oh, there's no such thing as bad news.
Okay.
There's just our issues that we have to look at, right?
Sure. So
are you in a relationship or not?
I am 100% single. I would quite like to be in a relationship. I've got Mr. Dr. Love, is that
right? Dr. Marcel.
Dr. Marcel over here. He's a bit of a
love
doctor.
Okay. So Dr. Marcel is a love expert, is that it?
Yeah, he is.
All right. Well, then I'll take you both on, okay?
I think between the two of you, I reckon you can get me into a relationship.
Well, I have the magic thing. I have your chart. You at least knew the time of your birth. You don't have an easy chart when it comes to relationships. But I'm going to tell you why, and then you can do something about it. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great. So for everyone listening, I have sent Linda... what did you ask for again? You asked for my birthday,
the
my time
date of your birth, the time, and the place.
And
we
the
only
place.
Need three things, but it's not unlike physics that takes the XYZ factor, like 3 points in time, kind of position you to every other object or person in space.
Ooh.
So when you have those 3 points, you can pinpoint your kind of energy field, and it's amazing. The stars freeze at that moment, and you get a picture of where they are, and that's your blueprint.
Oh,
what
my
you
God.
Do with it
oh.
now is up to you.
I'm so excited. The look on Marcel's face, he's so ready for this.
I'm intrigued. I want you to do it for
okay,
me as well.
Okay, well, let's move from intrigued into information here. So to start with, as you know, you might not know because you're right on the cusp, but you are a Taurus.
Yeah, but I'm Taurus Gemini, aren't I? I'm two. I'm
no,
special. No,
no
Linda, tell
thing.
Me I'm special.
Well, no, there's no. You don't want to be divided.
Okay.
You want to be one thing or the other,
okay,
right?
Fair, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's the worst thing you can be is have one foot in two worlds, right?
That's true. Smart lady.
but being the last sign of the last degree of Taurus kind of puts you there in some way, because the key to being there's 30 degrees in every sign, and you're 29 degrees of Taurus, and that's always kind of like an intense point, because something becomes very important to you. And what's the most important thing to Taurus is love. It rules love.
Is it actually? Like, that's not just something you say.
It does rule love. It rules love and money.
Money? I do like
yeah,
money.
Yeah, because what we value and where we put our money is what we love.
Sure.
As well as...
Very true.
Yeah, so it is related in some way, and that's usually rules the second house. Yours is in the third, the 11th house, which means that the person you will meet will be a friend as well as a lover.
Ooh.
And maybe a friend first.
So
friendship will be important too. So
okay.
But let me tell you this. That's not an easy degree, because what happens is you can self-sabotage yourself a lot. And one of the things you do is that you're attracted to somebody who's really not available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Bang on the money, Linda.
Yes, well, thank you. But that said, and actually, the more unavailable she is, the more interested
I'm a homosexual, so he's a male.
Oh, it's a male? Are you?
He's a male.
They didn't tell me.
Yeah, I'm gay.
Okay, so whomever it is, so thank you for correcting
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I will
course.
Now use the right person gender. So it doesn't matter. It's whether you're gay or not. It's your relationship chart. So it
yeah.
will stay the same thing. So
okay, I'm
yes,
glad
the
I'm
more
not
unavailable, and you're also very idealistic. I hate to tell you this, but it gets you into trouble because you have a romantic vision of love.
But that's a good thing, isn't it? Like, having a romantic...
Well, it is, as long as you include reality
oh,
in
yeah,
the
don't
picture.
Do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. I don't know if gay men are worse than women sometimes when it comes to that or not, because you'll have to tell me, because women tend to be too romantic, too. So this is why being too romantic is difficult, okay?
Yes.
What happens is that, and this is true of any kind of dating, that when you first meet someone, everybody wants to see what they want to see in the person and not who they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a suggestion that they're cheap, if there's a suggestion that they're blocked, if there's a suggestion that they hate dogs and you love them, or whatever.
I would never date somebody who hates dogs. No, in the trash.
I know,
in
but I'm just saying that... We tend to overlook small things
yeah.
that seem to be an indication of a bigger picture, and because we want them to be what we want them to be, and that's the worst thing you can do.
Oh, Linda,
you need to be able to look at not a harsh reality, but a balance of what is possible and what is real, and you only do that if you can be in that place yourself. So if you're trying to impress your partner by being somebody you're not because you think that's what they want you to be, then that's going to get you into trouble too.
Oh, Linda, you're saying all the things that, like, these are all the things that you should be saying, but I'm like, oh, no.
Do I really have to do that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in reality, but then you won't have a relationship.
Sure.
And let me tell you something. In your chart right now, you could meet somebody, like yesterday.
Yesterday? Well, I didn't.
Well, I mean, I meant, like, it's happening right now.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's going to be there on and off for the next year. You will meet a relationship that really blows you away.
So this person that I really like that is unavailable and like that is like just the wrong person, and I'm seeing all the, because I do like to see the best in people, but I am aware
yes.
that this particular person is not right for me, so I need to like put them in the bin is what you're telling me.
Well, if you don't want to put them in the bin right away, then why don't you use them as practice and start telling
right
them the
away.
Truth and see what happens?
Oh,
Linda,
you're savage. Use them as practice. Wow.
I know, yeah, because you are not good at confrontation, are
not.
You?
No. How do you know these
yeah,
things?
Yeah, and even the simplest confrontation, because you're too idealistic.
That's
and
true.
I'm telling you, that's a real problem, because if you can't say the truth, then the only way out is to leave someone.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. Gosh, okay.
You know, so you have to learn to say what needs to be said, and it, you don't have to say it harshly, but I think it's the number one most difficult thing that most people, I think 90% of all the problems I deal with in life coaching is that most people can't say no. Or
uh-huh.
can't stand up for something. They don't want to hurt something. Because what is that is? That's you're risking love, you're risking displeasing someone, you're risking, you know, being liked. And You know, but you know who people like? The people who can do that. The people who can turn their back on you. You know, when you walk away, I can't tell you in my lifetime how many men that I turned my back on are the ones who chased me.
That's
fair. And it's true. Yeah. It's like when you're not interested, people, if you're too eager, you lose some of your sexiness. I hate to tell you that.
Oh God, I'm the worst at that. I'm like, I mean, I was telling Marcel earlier that I'm the person who sends like 12 texts. Maybe not 12, but you know, I'm like, boom, boom, boom.
You gotta stop it, Callum. You gotta stop it.
See, Linda, we agree on that as well.
Yes, we do agree, Marcel. What is your birth sign, Marcel?
Are you gonna do me now?
Yes, good.
No, I can't because I can't run off your whole chart, but what is your sun sign and birthday number?
My birthday is the 7th of January, 1986, and I'm a Capricorn.
What, January what?
January the 7th.
The 7th. Oh, the 7th is like Neptune energy. So so you have strong idealism, too. You just might be more practical. I don't know. Capricorn tends to be a practical sign, but when you put it with Neptune, that's a very, you know, are you in music? Is that what you said? Because that can be very creative, very musical.
Oh, she knows.
You must be a genius.
Do you know what? I don't want to sound too big-headed, but
you're not going to argue with me. But I'm
going
to go back to Callum. I just said he was a genius. Yeah, but the thing is, Callum.
I like you, Linda.
Callum, you are a very stubborn man, though. As much as you can't confront, you don't move when you don't want to, darling.
No, I don't. I'm very stubborn.
You know, and I don't even know if you're doing what you really want to do because you have an interception in your 10th house of career. So I have a feeling there's something else.
I have a what in my what?
In your 10th house of career, there's another sign which is intercepted and not reaching the cusp. It's a very astrological thing. But it means that there's something you've been holding dear to you and you don't necessarily share with the world, and it has to do with your career. So is there another thing you want to do besides be on radio?
I don't know. I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but I'm gonna. I have a full time job, and I literally just got made redundant.
Oh my God!
Literally a week ago.
Is this the job you're doing? Is this the job you want to do? I mean,
it's a good job, but it's not my dream job.
Yes. So, but you know, this is the time now to get in touch with that dream job.
Oh my God, you are blowing my mind wide open, Linda. This is crazy.
Yeah. Listen, the first time I went to have my chart done, it blew me away so much that, and I did it for fun, and I hired the guy to teach me private lessons. And that's how much he impressed me. I just said, okay, I want to learn. How do you know all that about me with these little circle and glyphs? And he used to tell me that I was going to be an astrologer and make money at it. I thought he was crazy. And I said, no, I'm just curious. I just want to know how it works. And he said, oh, no, you're going to be an astrologer.
And here you are.
Mm-hmm. He was right and I was wrong. So,
I'm almost scared to ask, but is there anything else you're going to tell me that is going
to... Yeah, well, you're about to go through. Oh, in 2020, you're going to have your Saturn return. Saturn just moved into Capricorn.
Right.
Saturn return happens around 28, 29.
Where's it been? Where's Saturn been?
You were born with it in Capricorn, and so it's returning now after going 28, 29 years around your chart and giving you a whole experience of where to put those boundaries that you didn't pay any attention to. But you had a tough father, didn't you? Was he tough? Was he available? Was he missing?
No, not really.
He was the opposite? What sign was he?
What sign was he? I have no idea.
What was his month he was born?
September.
Oh, September, what day?
I don't know, I should know. I think it's 16th, but that's probably wrong.
Yeah, so then he would be... Are you sure he wasn't a dictator?
A dictator?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can call my father a dictator on the radio, Linda.
Okay, on the show, yes. Well, you had a strong influence, a strong hand, which is one of the reasons why you have trouble doing it.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that it didn't work for him and that he didn't use it right, but it does affect the children in that way. And so when you have somebody who's too strong, you either repeat or oppose what they did. If you oppose it, you go the opposite, which creates the same problem until you learn to choose, because some moments require someone someone to be tough, and some moments require kindness and softness.
Sure. Okay. So,
okay. And so in 2 years, 2020,
yeah.
But you're going to start feeling it already now because okay. It's already in the sign, and Saturn stays in a sign for 2.5 years. And
I'm actually scared about what you're going to say. Like, I'm actually...
No, it's not scary at all, but it's a review time of your life.
Yeah.
Where am I going from here? This is what I've done. I've completed one circle. So Saturn return is always a growing up. It's time to grow up and be mature.
Okay. I'll do my best.
And it's a look at your future of where do you want to cast yourself and what do you really want to do. So you understand what I'm saying.
So big changes are coming is what you're telling me, essentially.
Big changes. But I want all your listeners to know that I do come to London often to read charts, and I also do Skype and telephone, and they can also reach me on my website, which is lyndajoyce.com. So...
Nailed it.
If they want to know the secrets of their life, they can reach me there too. So
I think you should do it, guys. It's,
yeah, like I'm. You've actually blown me away, Linda, and I would actually low key recommend this. What do you have social media as well?
I do. I'm on Instagram, Linda123Joyce, and I hope they would follow me there. There's some interesting stuff on there, and yeah. But you know, listen, I can talk about. I can read almost anybody if I have the birthday. So. We should keep in touch, because if you ever want another section of yourself or a client or,
yeah.
or a celebrity analyzed.
Absolutely.
I'm just doing it's amazing what you can see in a chart.
It really is.
You know,
really
without
is.
Knowing anything about a person, right?
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
I honestly, you've blown me away, Linda. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show and reading my chart.
Oh, I loved it.
Lovely listeners, do go check out Linda's work. And yeah, thank you so much, Linda.
You're welcome, dear.
See
okay.
You.
Have
Thanks
a good
very
one.
Much. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What? That blew my mind.
It was very intense. Like, there was moments when I was like, wow, she's deep.
I didn't... That is not what I expected.
And she obviously knew that I was a genius, so...
Well, I mean...
she's got to be telling the truth.
She's 100% right. All right, let's have a little bit of music.
Four-star shit.
Oh, boy, baby.
Look, I have a little fun with it.
Martin! Ow! You know what it is when you hear that?
Yep. You gonna get it in, baby.
La música de Harry Fry.
Oh, you hear, babies? Yeah. You bring it back in.
Shawty in the way at the motherfucking fixer. Sipping all day, got me leaning off the kickstand. House on my neck, now the house on my wristband. Girls really love me like a motherfucking 6'5". No time for resting. My life's invested in being a fucking legend. An icon, trying to cement it. I'm treating every year like it's game 7. I feel like problems in my city been deaded. I feel like me and my niggas are unthreatened. My new girl hating when I'm always spending. I guess I gotta get used to it cause my ex is. But it's true though, but it's true though. I'm in the cold, repping north like I'm Trudeau. Yeah, it's true though, yeah, it's true though. My heart cold, but it really be for you. That's a lie, yeah. He at my level, that's a lie, yeah. 100,000 for the times, yeah. They fucking with us, that's a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie. A lie, a lie.
I hope your box don't spread like the rumors. Sad, but it's true though. It's true though. We was bite down, now we chewed up. She said the baby moms, that's a lie. Fired the hottest in the city, that's a lie. School teach you how to read the lines. In these streets, gotta read between the lines. Room full of ether clouds, you don't wanna smoke. No. Fly choke, baby, I'ma choke from the choke. Only the red in my eyes, see where you come from. We the gang, either you run with or run from. I'm the hell rocking battery up in the sock. Me and Max hit the block like Carmelo on stock. And if I ain't the new chopper, that's a lie.
That's a
and
lie.
If they try to tell you we gon' stop, that's a lie.
He do it better, that's a lie. Yeah, he at my level, that's a lie. Yeah, 100,000 for the time. Yeah, they fucking with us, that's a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie.
All of my homies gonna
sun, more bun. Mommy bent over for a hum. Give her what she wanna, let her get it good. Put it on the tongue, told me, Charlie boy, you gotta get. Fix me with a lot of dick, hit me with a lot of kick. Show me you the man, busting quickies and dipping. That be something I can't stand. Other plans, baby, handle it. Try to put me in a twirl like a Cheerio. I ain't talking Cheerio, put me in your video. I can make a way, baby girl, coming home and you can't stay.
Ooh, you do it better, that's a lie. Yeah, he at my level, that's a lie. Yeah, 100,000 for the time. Yeah, they fucking with us, that's a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie. A lie, a lie, a lie.
A lie, a lie, a lie.
A lie, a lie, a lie.
A lie, a lie, a lie.
A lie,
a lie, a lie.
All of my homies gonna shine. You fucking with us, that's a lie.
Radio New N Women UK will be hosting a live 24-hour radio show.
Exactly 24 hours.
Starting on Friday, the 9th of March from 5 p.m.
As part of the He For She Arts Week, this will be a fundraising event. All the proceeds are going to UN Women in the UK to change the reality for women and girls globally.
Pitch Talk presenter Rachel Downey will host a 24-hour radio show.
With loads of FUBAR presenters and an incredible lineup of guests.
Helping her through the marathon show.
24 hours.
So join Rachel Downey and her guests on Friday, the 9th of March for the FUBAR Radio 24-hour show.
Part of UN Women UK He For She Arts Week.
We'll see you on the 9th of March.
24 hours.
I know you like a game, Marcel. So,
I do.
You know, we're looking back. Yeah, like, yes. I feel like we need to like lighten the tone, the mood in here. Like, yeah. It
was
astrology
intense.
Was intense. It's left very me intense. A little bit shook. So, all right, this game is called Queers Throughout the Years. And in this game, I have loads of facts about LGBT plus history. And I want you to figure out which ones of these are true.
Ooh.
And which one of these are false.
Okay, all right.
How much do you know about LGBT plus history? I feel like probably not a lot, right?
No, do you know what? Like, I'm not gonna like be like, yeah, like I'm super confident.
Yeah, I know myself.
Obviously, I'm not. But I do have a lot of gay friends, so like I can probably
figure these out. All right, they're quite out there. They're quite out there. All right, your first one. In the 1900s, underground sex toy company began producing illegal sex toys for gay men and lesbian women. Their range consisted of blow-up sex dolls with semi-functional penises for gay men and double-ended dildos for lesbian women. The company was fairly successful until their factory was the target of a police raid in 1912 and their merchandise was seized. The company was shut down, but they were able to avoid criminal charges in a court of law by claiming that the blow-up dolls were used for medical practice and that the double-ended dildos were actually KitchenAids. I wish everyone could see Marcel's face right now. That, not what you were expecting.
If that was a fake story, it was an amazingly written fake story. I'm going to say, I want to say yes.
Yeah?
I'm going to say yes? Because, like, I was sitting there thinking to myself, like how would they make... Did you call them blow-up dolls?
They're blow-up dolls, but they've got, like... They're male ones, so they've got, like, semi-functional penises. So I guess they can get erect and you can use it as, like, a dildo, I guess?
But I'm trying... In 1912...
1912, early days.
Did they have the kind of pumping thing and did they have the... I suppose they could have. But how would they make a semi-functional penis?
I don't know.
That's technology.
Like, I'm guessing it didn't like ejaculate. I'm guessing it didn't go that far.
So,
you know?
But what would they have made it out of?
Oh, I don't know. Like rubber, silicone.
Silicone in like 1912. Was it invented then?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably. They had TVs then.
You know
no,
what?
They
like,
didn't.
I feel the double ended dildo. They could probably get away with being a rolling pin, obviously. But
with two cocks on the end, yeah, it's a rolling pin,
like adjustable heads and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what I mean, depending on the size that he was going for. But I want to say yes because I can see the police raiding them.
Yeah,
and then trying to pretend like, but like, why would they be making rolling pins and doctor's aids?
But I guess it was.
No, do you know what? This is fake.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, it's completely made up.
That was good. That was a good embellishment. I was confused, which is why I was thinking maybe it's true. But then
yeah.
When I spoke it out, sometimes you need to talk it out.
You're, what I mean? You're, to just work on it with the advice all the time, Marcel. It's like, it's always on brand.
It's true, you know. Doctor of many things, not just love, guys.
And a genius as well.
Is that, hey, Linda said it, so it's got to be true.
All right, your next one. Although homosexuality has only been legal in the United Kingdom for 50 years, underground gay clubs and sex parties have been around for hundreds of years. Homosexuality was still punishable by death in the early days, and so they went to extreme lengths to hide the identities of the people attending the parties. Fancy dress was almost always mandatory. People would put on fake voices and speak in code, and they would only hire blind members of staff so that they wouldn't be able to report people's identities to the police.
That's true.
Yeah?
I think that's true.
Yeah? Just like,
do you know what,
confident?
Because, like, do you know what? I was watching, I don't know if you've seen it, but like, it was a Tom Hardy program called Taboo.
Okay.
And
I didn't
in
see
there,
it.
They were having this party, and it was like a party for people to just get down and do what they wanted to do, and they all was dressed up. So maybe they've done their research, so they've done it on that basis. So I'm going to say true.
Nailed it. Absolutely, yeah, it's completely true. But my favourite thing about it is that they would go to the length of hiring blind people to work there. I don't know what they were doing, working on the bar. Like, tricky to make a cocktail, but I'm sure they nailed it.
It's pretty
deep. I'm sure they had it down.
If Stevie Wonder can play the keyboard, they can make cocktails.
Then, yeah, absolutely. All right, your next one. This isn't really LGBT, but I threw it in there anyway because it's fun. The vibrator was the fifth electrical item to make it into the consumer home. The only electrical devices approved for consumer use before this were the sewing machine, electric fan, tea kettle, and toaster. The vibrator made it into the homes of the masses long before vacuum cleaners, electrical irons, and televisions. Fifth electrical item of all the items that people owned was a vibrator.
I don't think that's true because... From my vast knowledge, basically, the original vibrator wasn't actually a vibrator. It was actually like a women's like it was for women to like kind of like
release.
No. It was meant to be like a kind of fitness thing. It used to vibrate on them, so that they put it on, but it'd be like panties that they put on, and then it'd vibrate to make them lose weight. But it didn't really work like that. It was more. It turned into more being a. Being a vibrating thing. So I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no?
No.
Well, Marcel, I'm afraid you're incorrect. But your information was correct, that vibrators were originally used as like a medical device for women that they would wear. And that was the original vibrator. So I think it's that went into the home. And then people were like, you know what? I can put this on my clit. You know what I mean?
That's quite strange. Before the television.
Before the television.
And the iron.
And the iron and the vacuum cleaner. Vibrators.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%. I Googled it and everything.
That's mental.
Because you can believe everything you read on the internet. No. So it's 100% true. 100% true. All right, your next one. A demand for new and safer dildos arose in the 90s when a gay man got a Buzz Lightyear doll lodged inside his anus. Gay men became increasingly aware that dildos designed for vaginal use were not safe for anal stimulation, as the muscles in the rectum could contract and suck the dildo inside. In an effort to protect themselves, they started using more unusually shaped household objects that would not get sucked inside. Unfortunately, this backfired, and a number of unusual objects had to be surgically extracted. See what I did there? And this led to new and safer sex toys with a protective base being manufactured.
All right, so when you say Buzz Lightyear, are we talking... Did it look like... Was it a Buzz Lightyear
like
doll?
Like a proper Buzz Lightyear doll. It wasn't a sex toy. It was an actual Buzz Lightyear stuck in a guy's ass. And that made them reinvent the dildo because they were like, nah, people are shoving Buzz Lightyear dolls up there.
Oh,
we need to sort this out.
Is that why it's got the kind of... Well, yeah. Okay, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense. So for
anyone listening who doesn't know, a dildo which is used for anal stimulation always has like a protective base on it, or it'll have balls or something. And that's so like it doesn't get sucked up inside because of the way the muscles contract. Deep. So it's a completely different thing.
So is that true or false?
Yeah.
The Buzz Lightyear doll.
I mean, there is a lot of things you could put up there. Why a Buzz Lightyear? You know, with the wings and the arms, that's a lot. That's a lot to go in, you know?
It's fake. That's got to be a lie because it's got wings on it. That can't be fun. That can't be fun.
You are correct. That isn't why they changed dildos, but somebody did shove a Buzz Lightyear up there, and there is a picture of the X-ray online, which
I've seen. I've actually seen that.
So somebody did shove a Buzz up there, but it didn't redefine the sex toy industry.
The wings.
Well, I think the wings pop in, don't they?
Yeah, the wings go in, but still, at the same time, like, imagine, like, you're moving the wrong way, then apparently
they pop open, out. Rip your inside. Oh.
You know what I mean? It's dangerous, like. Think twice.
Think twice. Be safe, kids. All right, your last one. Gay snakes are considered to be the most jealous creature on the planet and have been known to kill hundreds of female snakes in their own colonies in order to wipe out the competition. If their advances are still rejected by the other males after this, then they proceed to kill them off as well and live a solitary existence instead. This is a behaviour that has been observed nowhere else in the animal kingdom, and these snakes have been known to single-handedly wipe out nests filled with up to 5,000 other snakes.
False.
Why do you think that's false?
Because I don't know if I'm just making this up. Maybe I'm just making this point up.
Yeah.
But I didn't think snakes needed ever. I didn't think snakes had genders.
Yeah, they do have genders and they do reproduce. So a female snake needs.
But I thought sometimes they could just reproduce off their own back.
I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Okay. So I'm going to say false.
You think it's false? You are absolutely correct. I basically was like, you know what? If I was a snake, what would I do?
And that's kill off wipe out all the snakes.
Kill off all the female snakes that try to mess with me. We are going to be doing sex confessions next. If anyone listening at home would like to send us in any last minute sex confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. Send us anything you want about sex, any questions, anything about dating, love, and it will be completely anonymous as well. So that's callum@fubarradio.com. And let's have a little bit of this little jam.
Said you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Move me. Yeah. Never said that you would do that. No.
Chilling outside, baby, come and look into my eyes. Yeah, I know the feeling is right. Yeah, I just need you tonight, need you tonight. Baby girl, you're coming around. I know you're staying around because you never wanna leave. Bomber clock, and then I go in and out, and then I hear your sound saying I'm everything you need. Ooh yeah. You wanna know where we can go? All the way to Fernando. You wanna be my Nintendo? But you gotta know I don't play no games.
Everything I say is true. I'd be a mess here without you. And I hold you down, you don't need to stress. So let me just lay upon your chest.
She making me weak check, grind that check. Raise that check and got the lighter check. Roll the weed and let me smoke the cess. And you can lay upon my chest. She making me weak check, grind that check. Raise that check and got the lighter check. Roll the weed and let me smoke. This is something you can lay up on my chest. Yeah.
Dumb move. Looking like you care what you came for. Tell me what you want. Is it me though? Love it when you watch how my weed smoke. So loud, I don't feel me. And you best pick it up when I FaceTime. Cause you know that you're all mine. Oh, I'm gonna roll in my car. Come wherever you are. Got whatever you need. Baby, you get it. Like I say it's true.
Smoke, this is sin. You can lay up on my chest. You make
check, grind the check. Raise that check and got the light that check. Roll the weed and let me smoke this. A sign to you, give me up on my chest. Baby, I'm smiling my ride. Baby, it's my big black night. Open and it, I'm taking life. Baby, it will feel alright. You see, baby, girl, the sign in my life. Baby, it's my big black night. Open and it, I'm taking life. Baby, it will feel alright. Feel alright. Yeah, 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 yeah.
All right, before we jump into Sex Confessions, I've got a little exciting something to tell you lovely listeners. So this weekend, FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK are broadcasting a 24-hour live show for the He for She Arts Week. So it's going to be this weekend and I'm going to be involved. It's going to be a 24-hour live show and I will be on sometime in the middle of the night. So if you're over in America, you know, you might be up. So that's Friday 9th of March, starting on 5 p.m. on Friday the 9th of March until 5 p.m. on Saturday the 10th of March. And it's all to raise money. So if you would like to help or get involved, you can do that by texting the code UNWN to 70070. And it's all going towards the United Nations Women UK. So that's it. It's a really exciting thing. And I hope you guys can listen. And I hope you can also support it. And now should we get on to the good stuff, Marcel?
Get into it.
Get into it. I know you've been dying for this all show long.
Do you know what? I heard about it at the start of it and I was like, you know what? This is going to be fun.
It is. Would you like to read some of these out?
All right, let's do it.
Because you've got such a sexy voice. I feel the people need it. You
need to do it in a sexy voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys.
No. Yeah.
All right, so our first one is, I got hospitalized because I used to be popping a Hoover nozzle up my muff and it got stuck there. Probably because I turned the Hoover on so awkward when my mum had to pick me up from A&E.
Oh, my God.
You popped the Hoover nozzle, which is like was it the round one or was it the more narrow one?
Because they come with a lot of attachments. You've got
maybe
choice.
It was the bush, maybe the it was the fluffy one, the one with the little tassels on it. Maybe that's. Oh. Do you know what? I've my mum's walked in on me doing certain things, but never with. A Hoover.
I've been tempted, you know, like when I was like growing up, I was
you
like,
heard about it, innit?
Like, people talked about it, and I was like, that thing sucks. And I was like, if I put my
but I don't think it's got the same feeling, really. You know,
no, I never dared because I was like, what if it like gets
stuck in there, or like,
and end up in A&E, like
exactly,
this.
And then you're calling your mum, the Hoover's not at home because like I had to bring it to the hospital with me, yeah. Your mum's changing the Hoover because obviously you've been doing it. It's not the first time, is it? You know, it's not the first time.
You're going back for a little bit more.
There you go.
But they're saying that the mum had to pick them up from A&E. But like you could be, you would, if that was me, I would lie. I'd be like, oh, I fell and hit my head, had to go in to A&E, you know?
Oh, wow.
You know, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I was ramming the Hoover up my vagina and up my muff. I love their choice of language there.
But like you gotta think of it like this as well. Like so, she turned it on while it was up there. It's obviously sucked something inside, which is what's got it stuck.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh wow, I'm getting too deep. this is why I'm so good because I literally work out what's actually happened. I'm like Columbo. Columbo.
You
know what I mean?
I
put the scene together. I put the scene together. But like, yeah, well, do you know what? That is a very awkward one. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's a very strange one. But
I think we can all learn from it.
Yeah, like don't
do that.
If you're gonna mess about with Ubers, don't stick them in and turn them on. Like just like
it's a bad idea.
A bit of foreplay.
And
you know?
No Buzz Lightyears either. Just keep
yeah,
it out
just,
of there.
Just keep all of those kind of utensils away. No.
All right. The next confession. This one's for you, Marcel. Nice. I was listening to Marcel talking about his ashy elbows at the beginning of the show, and my confession is that I find his smooth, non-ashy elbows so fucking sexy.
Do you know what? I appreciate that. Do you know what? Like, moisturizing, I'm going to go back to it because moisturizing is the key. And like, obviously, if I had Ashy Elbows, people like Gabby might not find me attractive. So
no, Ashy, you'd be cancelled, mate.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at those elbows. Nah, he's a no go. Do you know what I mean? Maybe on the first day of the show, I didn't cream my elbows, and that's why they didn't stand forward. But it doesn't matter now. I thank you for the support. My elbows, thank you for the support as well. Thank you.
You know what, Master, I'm really disappointed. You sat there in a jacket.
I know, because you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't have time to cream my elbows before I came out. I'm only joking. But
Gosh. Covers them up, even for radio. I feel like you're a bit of a, like, you know, in like Victorian times when the like showing a bit of a lady's ankle was like exciting. I feel like that's you with the elbow. Like only special lady gets to see those bad boys.
I went to the gym today as well, like, so like the seps would be looking quite the seps, you know. I shorten names, innit? Like
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like the buyers or the seps. I think the seps sound better, you know.
I like the seps.
You know, but yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's style, you know. You know what I mean?
All right. Look. Do you want to read the next one?
Alright, so the next one is, this one time this girl was going down on me and a little bit of pee came out, I actually think she liked it.
Ooh.
Do you know what, mate? There are some girls that are into that kind of stuff, and there are obviously some guys that are into that stuff as well. We call that golden showers.
I don't mind a bit of that.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit.
The golden shower.
Just a little bit.
Do you know what? Like I've never had a golden shower. I've never had a golden shower. But sometimes during sex, like, some girls do squirt, and apparently squirt isn't just their vaginal cum. Sometimes it's pee.
Oh my, I did not know that. Like,
yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what I've been told.
You've actually blown my mind. I've learned something here today. So wait, you're telling me when a girl squirts, sometimes that is urine.
Yeah, sometimes it's urine, but like their body can't control the thing because they're
so it just
squirts.
A little bit of a squirt.
There you go.
Fuck me. That's taken me by surprise.
Know, it's
well, and as well, going back to this person's confession, like, if she liked it, you know?
You know, if she carried on doing it, and, you know what I mean, she obviously felt it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be, like, if I had an erection, I wouldn't be able to. Oh, I guess this could be another girl, though. I guess it's not necessarily a guy. Could be a couple of lesbians.
Oh, true.
We don't know.
True.
We don't know their identity. But like, if it is a guy, like if I'm erect, yeah, like, no pee is coming out of that.
That's the thing. That's the thing. But then there's sometimes when I'm like mid flow and I'm like you know that you're not going to be able to like to climax because you need to go pee. So sometimes it's always best to go pee before you start the actions. But sometimes you can't, you know. Sometimes you're like you're just chilling, and then it starts happening,
and you're
too far in.
I've not peed.
You know what I mean? And then you got to be like, yo, give me 2 seconds, yo, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Have you ever had the thing where, as well, like, it usually happens to me after like a big night out, and I wake up in the morning and I'll have like the morning erection going on, but I'll be like dying to pee, and you try and it's just not happening.
Secret Dr. Marcel's secret to how to handle this, like, you know, like, sometimes you want to stand up and pee, but I say sit down and lean forward. If you sit down and lean forward, the angle is not, you're not going to be spraying all over the place, because sometimes you get the double stream, you know. It's
wait, what's the double stream?
The double stream is like when you got a boner, like if you're trying to do a pee, sometimes you double stream off and you can't control the angles and where the stream's going.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
So yeah, so like sometimes it's better to sit down and just like angle yourself to avoid splatting on the ceiling or the wall or wherever it's going
to
be going.
I'm actually so pleased to hear that the double stream is a thing, because it's a rare thing that happens, but every now and then it takes you by surprise.
And sometimes you need to be on it to control it before it, like, before you hit something you don't want to hit,
because you'd be hitting the wall.
You know what I mean? And then, like, no one wants pee on the wall. Fact.
No one wants pee on the wall. It's 100% true. Alright, let me do the next one. This isn't a confession, but I just really want to know how Marcel felt when Kem and Chris made Little Bit Leave It. Did they ask him to be a part of the track? I have no idea what this means.
So Little Bit Leave It, basically, like, when we was in the show, Kem came to me and was like, Marcel, like, I want to write a song. Can you help me? So I helped him write a song called Little Bit Leave It.
Yeah.
Me and Kem done a performance. Chris done the intro on the song. And then when we got out of the villa, like, a label approached all three of us and said, oh, like, do you want to make the song? And like, where obviously I'd made music before, I was like, music's what I do. Like, I don't want to make a novelty song. So I said, no, I don't want to do it. But they still went ahead and made the song. But there were certain parts of the song which I helped them write and that kind of stuff, which still got used on the remake of it. But I wasn't, like, for me, it wasn't like a negative thing, because I'm going to continue to make music. They've made the song. The song done well. Like, and the song was actually good.
Oh, so it, like, blew. It wasn't just a thing in that. It actually done quite well.
But they're not going to go on and make a. They're not going to go on and make an album. They're not going to go on and do other musical stuff,
because that's, like, not their thing.
Yeah, it's not their thing, because, like, the stuff that they done was a novelty track and just off the back of Love Island, didn't it? So
yeah.
I wasn't upset for them. Like, I was happy for them, because, like, they love grime music. Like when we was in the villa, all they be doing is talking about grime music and rapping to each other. So
yeah.
It was nice to see them actually do it and actually do something off the back of it. So, like, I was proud of them when they done it. Obviously, there was a little bit of stigma, because there was one night when I was at the Grime Daily Awards.
Yeah.
And one of the guys presenting basically, like, kind of, like, done a little bit of a dig towards them, because Little Bit Leave It is something that Lethal Bizzle used to say, so there was a bit of drama between that, and then they made a thing out of that on that, and then I got caught on my Instagram filming because I was at the awards. I was filming Lethal Bizzle get his award, and like I was like, and like, when they were saying all the stuff, I was literally like, I'm not saying anything, because everyone at the show was looking at me, because I was on Love Island with them.
Yeah.
So then that got turned into, oh, Marcel throws shade on Chris and Kem.
Sure.
And I was literally like,
I wasn't.
Like, I literally said, I ain't saying nothing. And then it got turned into all this negative press and all that kind of stuff. And I was like...
But it was actually, like, super chill, and you were fine with it.
If anyone knows me, they know that I'm not the kind of person who's going to get bitter or twisted about someone else doing well or someone else doing music. Like, if they want to make music, they can make music, innit? Like,
but
I want to make music my own way. And the stuff that I'm working on is more my own thing. It's not novelty music. It's actually real music. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Amazing. And I mean, I guess that's the media for you, isn't it? Like, blowing things out of proportion, twisting things, etc. Shout out to whoever sent that little question.
Exactly.
I didn't realize it was, like, such a big drama that went on.
It was a lack of drama that got turned into a massive drama, because like it was literally all of the on Twitter. Like, it was literally, like, the most, like, they repeated the article so many times. I was like,
fuck's sake,
what the hell, like I haven't even said anything, like, for it to be turned into this. So yeah,
all right, well, let's go back to a fun one. I want you to read this one.
All right. Thank you, Ken. All right, so the next one says, I love when my boyfriend eats a donut off my dick and then licks off the sugar on my balls.
Licks the sugar off my balls, I think it's meant to say.
Okay, licks the sugar off my balls. Okay, that's nice. Like,
I like, it's a cute thing, I guess.
You know, like, maybe it's their thing. It's their thing, you know? Maybe I could, I don't think guys would do that personally.
No, like, a donut's a donut, you know what I mean? Like, put it on a dick, it's still a donut.
It depends on the size of the donut, really, because...
Some of them have, like, little holes. You need one of those big, chunky ones with lots of room to slide in.
Yeah. Or like a custom-made one, probably.
Just like saying. A giant donut. I don't know. It sounds like a good time. If I was dating someone, they were like, you know what?
Yeah, I've got this donut.
What are we gonna do with it? Like, what can we do with this donut? I'd be down for that.
Fair enough.
How's the sugar getting on the balls? Is my question though.
Maybe it's them, you know, sugary, I mean, ones. So like, you know, sometimes when you eat them,
covered.
It just comes off it just comes off in your hands and around your face and stuff. So. Maybe it just, like, sugars their balls.
Casually,
just sugaring the balls.
Oh, they love it. Okay, we have just two more. Okay. I once burnt an ex-partner with hot fudge whilst going down on them. I still go red with embarrassment thinking about it now. Be careful. Wait, I'm really confused. How did this happen? You burnt an ex-partner with hot fudge whilst going down on them.
All right, so I reckon this is... So Columbo.
Columbo's right, so figuring this one out.
I reckon
Poirot's here.
She's put the hot fudge in her mouth.
Right.
Well, like, obviously her taste buds and tolerance is quite, she's got quite a good taste buds and tolerance for it. So then when she's gone to apply the oral to the said
it's
penis,
been a bit much.
It's gone a bit. They wasn't ready for it. It's hit the oxygen's hit it, made it feel a little bit warmer. singed the balls or the genitals that
I think you're 100% right, because, you know, like, my penis is pretty sensitive, and if you're going near that with boiling hot fudge...
Or, possibilities, it's two girls, and she's put the hot fudge... Oh, no. She's obviously boiled the hot fudge, and then she's gone to, like, string it down, and as it's gone down, the sensitivity, the hotness... It's combined and turned into a painful situation. Very painful. And it's not like candles, so it's not just going to like just cool straight away.
Is like,
it's hot for a long time.
And you don't want that in your nether regions.
No, and it's fudge as well, so it's not even like chocolate. It's fudge.
Like,
so it's
going to
stick, and it's just going to be
burn.
Like you're in the shower trying to scrub it off. Oh, pain.
Right, so no vacuum cleaners, no Buzz Lightyears, and no hot fudge.
Yeah. Donuts are all right. You can do the donuts.
Donuts are fine. We approve. We approve that message. All right. We've got one final one. I would like you to read this one, Marcel.
This guy I fucked last night didn't take his shades off. Wow. He didn't have them on all evening. Wait.
Wait, he didn't?
He didn't have them on all evening. I was so in a moment and drunk, I didn't realize till we were done. Not sure how to bring it up. There's going to be a next date. So this guy wasn't wearing sunglasses the whole time. Then when he was about to have sex,
he put them on.
I was like, he's like, it's go time.
Oh, like he, shades like, are on. It's
he
time
was,
to
he
play.
He was in his element. Like, so maybe, do you know what? Like, maybe it's his thing. Maybe he puts them on to get into character.
Yeah, maybe.
There's going to be like. So she's saying that there's going to be a next date. So obviously he done a good job.
Yeah,
he done a good job.
Sort him out.
Maybe just let him, like, maybe if you don't like the shades he was wearing, buy him some that you do like.
Look, I know, but I could deal with, like, if they're wearing shades the whole time and then you go to sex and they don't take them off, I'd be like...
But it's winter as well, like, I'm just saying, it's winter, it's not too warm out there, there's no need for sunglasses. But he got into the bedroom, threw his sunglasses on, like, it's his character.
It's time to play. You know what? Like, if he was all right, he was good in bed, I'd give him a chance as well.
It's a bit 50 Shades of Grey-ish, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like took her back to the hotel or the bedroom, whatever it was. It was like, so, are you ready for this? And he's like, out of his pocket, the shades come, he dons them, and then he gets down to business.
He sounds like a bit of a legend. I'm not going to lie.
Know what I mean?
You've convinced me.
And she was so into the moment. So obviously, like, he knew what he was doing before he put the shades on.
Yeah.
To get her into that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even realize he had shades on until she realized that he had shades on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I would notice. He must have been good.
He's
good.
Mysterious.
Well, Marcel, what a note to end on. That brings us to the end of the show. You have been an amazing guest.
Thank you.
I feel like I've taken away more, like you've really taught me. I'm going to go home. Between you and Linda from earlier, you've sorted my life out, honestly.
I hope you take the things that me and Linda said and you take them on board, because I see a great future for you.
Thank you very much. If people want to follow you on social media, where can they do that?
If you want to follow me, my tags are, for both Twitter and Instagram, it's at Marcel, MARCEL _ Rocky B, Blazing Squad, obviously, ROCKYB.
It's quite a mouthful.
It's Marcel _ Rocky B. You can just type in Marcel, I'll be the first person that comes up.
Boom. Smashed it. And what's the name of your book again, if people want to check that out?
My book is called Dr. Marcel's Little Book of Big Love, How to Find Love the Island Way.
And he says
Selector.
It with such a cheeky little smile on his face.
It's so true.
Marcel, you've been amazing. I'm going to play you out with a little bit of the Yeah Yeah Yes.
Do it.